Welcome to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Sensormatic. I'm delighted to welcome Amelia Adain as my guest this week. Amelia is Loss Prevention and Compliance Manager for Kukai. Amelia has been with the business for about 13 years, looking around in loss prevention roles for the last four or five. Kukai operates across Australia and New Zealand, or certainly the bit that Amelia is involved and responsible for. Loss prevention is a fairly recent addition to the business, and I know Amelia has been a driver in developing all sorts of loss prevention programs, policies, procedures, as well as rolling out some really interesting technologies, which we're going to talk about a little bit today. So Amelia, thank you very much indeed, and welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, pleasure. Now, first thing, we have an international audience. So do you want to just give us a little bit of background and insight on what you do as a business, who your customers are, and what it looks like in terms of stores and e-com?
Yeah, so Kukai, so some of the European brands listeners may know, Kukai is a French label, started over, I'm not sure how long the French label has been around for, but we bought the license to Kukai France to be sold in Australia about 20 years ago. So we started selling the Kukai France product here in Australia, and then slowly started developing our own product and making it our own label, really focusing on basics. Slowly we developed into more fashion pieces, for ladies fashion. And slowly we've become our own brand, where everything's designed and manufactured in our own factories. We have recently bought Kukai France, so we've come full circle what we've bought from, we now own. So getting us back to being one central company is where we're kind of at the moment as a brand, really realigning our Kukai France customer with our Kukai Australia customer. Kukai Australia New Zealand is just over 40 stores at the moment, with four in New Zealand, so most of the major capital cities. Slowly getting more as we go on.
Exciting. So are we going to see a global expansion driven out of Australia and New Zealand then for the business?
Yeah, definitely. So looking at aligning the brand in France, it's a lot of work because there's so many stores in France, I think Switzerland and I think some in the UK as well. So realigning those, we're only 40-ish stores in Australia, but there are over 100 or so. So it's a lot of work to kind of slowly get that realignment to be the Kukai Australia brand.
Love it. There you go. We might see you in Europe sometime soon. We'll be doing some store visits. Now, clearly the last 12 months has been hugely challenging for retailers globally. Can you just give me and our audience a little insight in what that's looked like for you as a business in terms of store closures? Have you pivoted to do ship from store? Just give me a highlight of what's been going on.
I guess the main, obviously we had to close stores in Australia and New Zealand during the severe lockdowns, and obviously Melbourne in the secondary lockdown, when we had bits and pieces where New Zealand had to close for a couple of days, Queensland had to go for a couple of days. So all were affected by those lockdowns in the areas. During the first big lockdowns about this time last year, we moved all our stock from our stores into our warehouse here to reallocate and distribute back to our e-com to really drive our sales through there to, pretty much keep us going, which was really good. And it kept some of the big girls still employed when things were still tentative and what was going on with jobs. We could have people employed at the warehouse to reallocate stock that was coming back from the stores, which was really good. I guess in regards to product, we're really lucky. We own our own factories and we produce really close to delivery. So we don't have stock sitting on in ships for 6 months waiting to arrive, we react really quickly to what's selling well and what we need for our customers. So straight away as lockdown happened, we started developing activewear and loungewear and all these kind of things that we hadn't done before. And that became a huge part of our business, and was really lucky that we were able to react so quickly to that change in the market, because all the things we'd developed for winter fashion and all of that kind of thing were no longer relevant at that point in time. So being able to, yeah, start manufacturing some jumpers and loungeabout stuff while we're all at home, really, really lucky.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, like many people, it was sort of maybe something smart on top and the sweatpants for the bit that's not on the Zoom call. So, Now,
and being our business being so, probably 80% of our basics and 20% is our fashion. So obviously fashion took a big hit, but we were still able to really sell through and still have that customer really loyal to our basics. So online was still quite strong for us, even though we are a fashion label, we still have that core customer who will come to us for t-shirts and buy 10 of them. So that was still really lucky.
So yeah, I guess if you've got a strong customer loyalty, then when they are all sat at home, if they're still buying the brand, then yeah, that's exactly the place you want to be in. Now, fast forward, our pandemic is over, we're back to normal. What does a day-to-day look like for you from a loss prevention perspective? You know, what takes your time? What are you focused on? What might crash your day, if you like? What occupies your time?
We do quarterly loss prevention audits with the store that are incentivized as well. So driving those across the regions is really important, and making sure that, yeah, any actions that have come from the loss prevention audits followed up on. We've got them down to a really, really good focus with the business and the stores, and everyone obviously being incentivized, everyone knows it's important, but everyone understands why they're important and why the questions are important. So we're in a really good position at the moment where we're getting over 90% across the board regularly for our loss prevention audits, which is really, really good. And like it's made loss prevention a really big focus in the company over the last few years that we've had these audits in. We're also touching on things like we're implementing a new ERP and a new point of sale system. And then also RFID we're looking at. We'll respond to the incident reports that come through of thefts and that kind of thing. Credit card fraud from online, security in the business, creepy men in the store, those kind of things. All those kind of things fall under me and my assistant's hat. So yeah, there's a lot, and we're also incorporating OH&S, which is part of the committee I'm on, and I'm also co-chair of our ethics and sustainability committee. So there's a lot going on under a lot of hats.
Exciting times. Now, I want to pick up on a couple of the sort of the projects that you mentioned just there. But before I do, in time-honoured fashion, we're just going to pause and take a brief word from our sponsor, and then we'll be back.
Now, more than ever, retailers and shopping centres need to create efficient and safe shopping destinations that can thrive in the most challenging of market conditions. Sensormatic Solutions uniquely combines insights into loss and liability, shopper insights and inventory visibility, to help you power operational excellence and deliver frictionless, secure, personalized shopper experiences while driving revenue. Visit us at sensormatic.com to learn more.
So welcome back. And this week we are with Amelia Adey from Kukai. Amelia, just before that break there, you touched on a couple of areas of technology that you guys are rolling out. And I know before we started recording, you mentioned that you got some experience of a POS surveillance system that you'd perhaps tried to install. Are you happy to share your experiences of that?
Yeah. I'll talk about that. So we looked into having a joint collaboration between us and potentially using some resources in Fiji, which is where our factory, one of our factories is located, and getting some of the graduates from potentially some of the IT fields over there to do some, some surveillance monitoring of our point of sale systems. Initially, when we trialed the point of sale monitoring, we installed a couple of cameras over point of sale that had transactional data overlaid on it, and just had someone here in Melbourne just watching every single transaction, seeing if they found anything wrong, things that didn't add up, and those kind of things, which was really good. And we found a few mostly policy breaks, but some quite serious ones. We ended up dismissing a manager out of the trial, and the trial store was picked because I felt that they were quite good at operations, and the initial trial would see how transactions should be processed in the store. And we ended up finding a manager doing the completely wrong thing, quite dishonest behavior. So that kind of made us go, wow, like, we really need this. We should put this in everywhere. So obviously we started rolling it out everywhere, implemented the monitoring from Fiji, and then the costs just got absurd for the monitoring, and they were not able to keep up with how many transactions we were doing, all that kind of thing. And I felt quite pushed into this project because it was approached to me by the director, by some of his business partners to implement this, and like try and do it as a trial with us so that they could develop a business. But it just was not sustainable as a business, and it was quite pushed onto me as a business idea rather than what you would normally do, a ROI kind of thing and justify a project. It was like, no, we're doing it. And all of a sudden everyone's asking me to justify these costs that I didn't approve for. So it was really interesting that we got something out of it, but ongoing, they're just, well, I guess our staff weren't dishonest enough really to justify the cost of monitoring every single transaction. And even when we cut it down to less of the transactions, the ongoing issues were not, I guess our problems aren't prevalent throughout our company. We only have 40-ish stores. So yes, if you had multiple stores and you've got multiple bad apples, it could end up costing you a lot of money. But being, you kind of, for us, it was only really one person that we ended up having a problem with in that time period. So the cost to find that was not justified by the cost to implement such extensive monitoring.
Well, if it comes back again, perhaps it needs to be completely AI driven. So just technology, yes, yes, flagging it up. So and I guess if there's any vendors listening that have a AI based solution that want to offer Amelia a free trial, then get in touch. Now, I know that you've done some work and looked at RFID. RFID has had a slow journey into retail, and it's kind of promised a lot on numerous occasions, but now it seems to be really the kind of, one of the go-to pieces of technology. What are you doing with it at the minute? Where are you? What trials have you looked at, and what are you rolling out?
Well, I know about slow because I've been working on this project for about 5 or 6 years since my whole time in loss prevention. So it's been picked up and put down multiple times by our company. But we are now successfully, so we're starting our main return on investment is tracking production and tracking our deliveries into production, from production. So we're looking to be able to use the RFID tags that we're using as care labels sewn into the garments at the start of manufacture to be able to track them through goods in the line, through to quality assurance and through to finished goods ready for shipment. And then from there, obviously, receipt into the stores. So our project is not just based on the retail side of things. It's starting our manufacture because we own our own factories and we want to know that those numbers that we're saying are being delivered or allocated are correct, and to save a lot of time in them manually counting. Being like maybe less infrastructure in manufacturing part, you'll find them when they're doing manual counts, they'll have a piece of paper or a piece of cardboard that they're writing these thousands of units, and then putting them into Excel and then putting them into another system and then sending them off to us for another Excel system and all that kind of thing, and we're expecting those numbers to be right. So and just having that one single read and those numbers being accurate at all point in time is going to be huge for us. And yeah, the benefits are going to be huge.
and in terms of, I mean, you know, are you taking it, if a customer then buys the product, are you geared up to then, if you like, track that out? And then if it comes back, have you got that level of visibility on the stock?
Yeah, so at the moment we've got one store that's completely tagged up, and it's our Chapel Street store. So that started as a trial of the tag up process whilst the factory started commencing the printing of the care labels. So the factory's now completely started printing of the care labels, and we're starting to roll it into stores. So at the moment the focus is on tagging the stock and making sure the inventory is correct. The next step for us is to start implementing point of sale deactivations and selling by RFID as the next step is rollout. So moving forward, all new stores will have an RFID reader as the barcode scanner. So that's the plan moving forward. And then doing all the fun things like shielding off the change room so we can have readers in the change room seeing, doing all the smart mirrors and all those cool things, walk in, you know, how many tags are in there, you know what product's in there. So we're positioning ourselves to be able to do all the bells and whistles. But at the moment it's really inventory focused and making sure those numbers are correct, especially after the crazy inventory movement year we had last year. It's kind of really highlighted how much easier it would have been with RFID or the stock movements we did. It was an absolute nightmare last year. And I was like, the whole time I was like, should have had RFID, So we're definitely, yeah, getting that inventory piece right is where the focus is at.
Yeah, and I think you call it spot on there, you know, that, you know, retailers the world over, if you've got inventory accuracy, you can build on it from there, can't you? But, you know, not knowing what you've got and what you've not got, it's just, you know, particularly, you know, when you've got, you know, so many product lines and then sizes within those product lines. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to get the updating, you know, in 12 months' time on, you know, X percentage of extra sales that have been generated and what sort of ROI you get. So, yeah, fascinating. So we've got RFID rolling out at the minute. Is there anything else in the pipeline from a technology perspective, or maybe even something that you've thought, actually, do you know what? Me personally, that's my pet project. Looking ahead to technology or processes, what's on the horizon? What's either coming next, or what are you going to be pushing within the business?
It's kind of hard to see past RFID. There's such a whole encompassing project, especially because it's starting from production into retail. But I guess the next kind of step would be to introduce that into France, which is obviously a bigger piece of the pie with more stores. But I guess really, my immediate future would be really trying to focus in on how we use the data we're going to get from our scans, and really, this project has been with me for a while, but it's so evident from all the things that we can do with it. It's not a loss prevention project. It's not just inventory. It's not just production. It can be, for example, when I was talking about the change room shielding, if you have a reader in there, if we get data of product that goes into the change room but doesn't get purchased, like, why is it not getting purchased? Does that consistently happen with the same size? And then do people size up, do they size down afterwards? Like, those kind of design data feedback points that we wait until we get on a phone call with the stores to get feedback about products. Like, we can get that in data where we can see graphs and all that kind of thing. And I guess really trying to just really explore the different data points we can get with just these tags. Really, really interesting to see.
Yeah, I guess you can sort of dine out on add-ons and bolt-ons on that core RFID piece. For you will be you'll be known as Amelia RFID, won't you, by the time we get to the end of it? Yeah. Look, final question for you: what does the future hold for you personally? Do you think, within your part of the world, you've carved out a name for yourself in the risk and loss prevention field. Do you see yourself staying there and expanding that? What do you look forward to in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my career goal would be to be our global loss prevention manager, or retail loss, or total retail loss, or that kind of thing. But to be the representative for our global brand, because we do have global roles within the business. We do have a loss prevention team in France, but whilst we're realigning our goals as a company to be all the one thing, and all our policies be the same, all our procedures be the same, like to replicate what we do in Australia, in Europe and all those other stores, I think that would be really, really good, because we've got such amazing drive and, I guess, ethics in our teams here in regards to loss prevention. And it's such an amazing program that we've put together, and the girls are just amazing, and it's such a part of the community in Cook Eye that loss prevention is a key drive, and to replicate that into the rest of the brand would really be where I kind of want to be. Cool. And driving. Go to France.
Yeah. Firstly, I hope the French lessons are going well, because you'll need that operating in a retail business in France. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I see no reason at all why that shouldn't be in your future, and racking up those air miles as you take in the estate globally. Amelia, thank you so much for being my guest on this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast. It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing your insights on the business and the projects you're working on. I wish you the best of luck with the final stages of that RFID rollout. Hopefully you can put that to bed and start to benefit from it. But it's been a pleasure speaking to you today.
Thank you so much.